You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on this Monday morning as we do what the subject of this morning's first half hour was all about. We are using the media to preach the Word. It's Monday, and the Hawks have a little bit of a lead, so everybody's comfortable, everybody's relaxed, nobody's on edge like we were for a couple of days. We just celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi, reminded that not only do we receive the body and blood of Christ, but we're called to be the body and blood of Christ in the world. So maybe this program will help you a little bit today to live out that reality. Because as I said, the subject of our first half hour is an amazing person whom Pope Paul VI called a marvel for our times. Pope John Paul II called him the first apostle of the new evangelization and proclaimed him blessed on April 27 of 2003. At age 16, when at prayer before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, God gave him a vision of using media that would spread all over the world. The very day World War I began, he took his first steps to make this media apostolate a reality. He believed that the media were precious gifts of God, and the Church has a responsibility to use them. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Father James Alberione. And we have in the studio today Sister Helena Burns, who's a Pauline sister, and one of the communities that Father Alberione founded. So welcome, Sister Helena.
Thank you.
I never heard of this wonderful man before I did some preparation for this program. So why don't you just tell us, how come we've never heard about him?
Well, that's why we're making a movie on him at mediaapostle.com. And as I said earlier to you, I was horrified. I'm always horrified when people say they don't know who he is, especially people in media.
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, in the media leader of the world, United States of America. And he's well known in other parts of the world, but we're trying to get him known in America because he has this incredible media spirituality. You know, we know that our lives are media lives more and more, 24/7, we're plugged in. And a lot of people are struggling with that, you know, struggling with these frenetic lives that we have and chopped up, interrupted lives. And they're wondering, like, well, where's God in all this? And how do I put this together with my faith? And is there a better way I can be using media? So Father Alberione has already done the work for us.
Yeah.
He died in 1971, so he did see a lot of modern media, but he was very forward-thinking. He even predicted the internet. He said back in the 1960s, we will receive our newspapers through the phone line someday.
Wow.
So he told us, he said, your mandate is to use the most, he called it the fastest, most efficacious means to reach the greatest number of people through the media.
You know, people who do evangelization often talk about, we really need to use the media, but it often comes across as we would be, foolish not to. Here's a tool, other denominations are using it, we need to catch up. But I loved the take that Father Alberione had on it. They are precious gifts of God, and the Church has a responsibility to use them. Puts it in a whole different perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was very positive about media. He didn't look the other way. He knew there was a lot of evil media out there, and that really bothered him. But he said, for us, he said, don't get into the boycotting and the protesting for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you feel called to that, fine. But he said, what are you doing? What are you creating? How are you sharing the message of Jesus? And I always think, you know, artists love something so much, they're just bursting to share it with the world. Wouldn't it be strange if Christians didn't feel that same love for Jesus and spreading, you know, knowledge of Jesus? So, and I do think that a lot of Christians, other Christians, do understand media. So for them, it's a no-brainer. Well, of course you use media to evangelize. But I think more and more Catholics are getting on board with that, with things like this, you know, and Relevant Radio and EWTN and all kinds of new media initiatives. There's the SQPN.com, which uses all kinds of new media. So Father Alberioni would have just loved that. He used all the media of his day. He was a filmmaker. He was a radio broadcaster. He wrote books. He used any kind of media he could. And he said, don't stop and think, should we use this? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. I wanted to ask, you know, I just cited a moment ago that on the day that the First World War began is when he started his ministry. That was almost 100 years ago.
Right.
What did he do that day?
That day was August 14, 1914. He opened the first little typographical school for boys to teach them how to, back in the day, it was, you know, mostly the press, that was the media. And they had little lead slugs, they called them, and they had little, every letter had to be hand set. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And he went ahead. It was the day that Pope St. Pius X died and World War I began. So founders are crazy. When God gives them a vision, they just go for it. And this man had his priorities so straight. That's another thing I absolutely love about him. That little school burned down not much later, a few years later. Everything was destroyed. I mean, it was extremely, there was a lot of poverty. He had nothing. He had no means. And you know what he said about it? He was totally calm when the little school burned down. And he said, this is not as bad as a venial sin.
Whoa.
So this man lived in a totally spiritual dimension, and yet he was very practical. He was a businessman. You know what I mean? He was extremely practical. He had that Northern Italian, you know, groundedness, rootedness. For him, it was all about spiritual things. And he used to say things like, make people children of God. This is everything. Bring people to the sacraments. He felt that the media was a tool to bring people into the heart of the church, to bring them closer and closer and closer to Jesus. And he had this wonderful, intimate relationship with Jesus. They found little scraps of paper when he died, little notes to Jesus. He would say, where do you want us to put the furniture on the second floor of the bindery? Like, he had this, every minute, every second of his day was just all about Jesus.
He lived with the Lord.
He did. And the Blessed Mother. He was very, very Marian. As a little boy, he used to go to a shrine called Our Lady of the Flowers that his mother would bring him to. And so he was rooted at a very young age in a very Marian devotion. He built a basilica, actually, to Mary, Queen of Apostles in Rome.
I read about that, and I thought, how in the world does somebody build a church in Rome? I mean, Rome has so many churches to begin with. Yeah. How do you get the money? How do you convince people that you need another church in Rome?
Right. It was kind of as a promise he made to Our Lady during World War II. He said, if none of the Paulines spread throughout the world in a lot of the very, you know, that saw a lot of heavy fighting areas, if none of them are harmed, although they suffered a lot, I mean, they were in concentration camps and they suffered with the rest of the world, but he said, if none of them are fatally, you know, injured, he said, I will build you a church. And actually, there was a bomb fell. I'm not sure if it was the Germans or the Americans at that point, but a bomb fell right next to him and did not detonate.
Whoa.
And so he made a promise also that he would build this church. Of course, you don't build a basilica. The name basilica is given after your church is
That's
built.
Right. That's right.
But of course, he was very well established in Rome at that point, too. And so I guess he owned the property already to build this church. So, but they said, you know, if you traveled with him in the car, he would just say rosary. It didn't matter how long the trip was. You would just say rosary after rosary after rosary with him. And, you know, we have accounts that he saw Our Lady, too. Mary, Queen of Apostles was the devotion, the Madonna that he gave us, which, of course, is in the litany to the Blessed Mother. When, after the rosary, when you say that, you say Queen of Apostles, because she was the first apostle. She was the first one to receive Jesus and give Jesus to the world.
Now, you talk like you know the man.
I feel like I do. I have to tell you this story. When I was 15 years old is when I felt the vocation to become a sister. And I was interested in a lot of different things, a lot of different orders. But the Daughters of St. Paul kept sending me information about themselves and about this amazing man. And I fell in love with him at 15. And every so often, I just go, I'm not going to be a sister. And I'd throw everything in the trash. But I always kept all the holy cards and the little booklets about Alberione. And I had one booklet which showed him on his funeral bier. You know, in Italy especially, they like to, you know, display the bodies a lot.
That's right.
And he didn't have a pillow under his head. He had a Bible. They put a Bible under his head because he had done so much to spread the word of God. He was very much about scripture. He wanted scripture in the hands of the people. He disseminated at least, I think it was 80 million Bibles in his own lifetime throughout the world in many languages. And he wanted it read in the home. He wasn't afraid of, you know, people getting off into private interpretation. He said, no, we have the church. You read the Bible and the church helps you interpret it. Don't keep the Bible out of the hands of the people. So, and this is so interesting too, because when I was going back and forth in my vocation, I want to be a sister, I don't want to be a sister, the vocation directress of the Daughters of St. Paul had been calling up girls, checking in on them. Are you still interested in religious life? They had, all the girls had died or gotten married or weren't interested or were too old or whatever. And she had this little holy card of Alberione, and she said to him, you give me the next one. And she picked up the phone and called me. So I think we've had this connection for a long, long time.
Long time. Well, we are talking to Sister Helena Burns, and as you can tell, she doesn't have a whole lot to say about Father Barioni. But we're going to take a short break and come back and see if we can get a little bit more out of her. Don't go away.
Save Our Children is the theme of this year's Black Catholic Deacons Father's Day Luncheon. Hi, I'm Deacon John Cook, inviting you to do together what we can't do apart. Our annual luncheon is scheduled for Saturday, June 19th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Parkway Ballroom, 4455 South King Drive in Chicago. Men in the Fire will raise their voices to entertain us, and Deacon Leroy Gill of Holy Angels Parish will provide inspirational words for fathers and their families attending this important gathering. Tickets may be purchased by calling me, Deacon John Cook, at 773-548-7724. That's 773-548-7724. Thank you for supporting this awe-inspiring event.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, flying solo today. Father Greg is packing up to get ready for his new assignment at St. Mary's Church in Evanston. And we're very fortunate today to be talking about an amazing, truly an amazing character who is on his way to sainthood. He is blessed, Father James Alberione, who is the founder of 10 different communities. The Pauline Sisters, the Daughters of St. Paul being one of them. And today we're talking with Sister Helena Burns, who is a Daughter of St. Paul and is just filled with enthusiasm for her founder, who apparently called her very directly at age 15 to join this community. Sister Helena, I'm just really struck. We're talking about a man who was deeply immersed in the modern media, radio, television, print. At the same time, we're talking about a man who was deeply devoted to the Blessed Mother, built a church in her honor, said rosaries over and over, experienced some mystical experiences. And I think in the modern mind, those two things don't go together very well. Help us to understand how they fit.
That's a great question. And when I give talks on media literacy to teens and parents and families, I always say, you know, God is not afraid of technology. Where is God in technology? Everywhere. He hasn't moved. And these are gifts. Father Alberione saw the media as gifts of God. Not just the natural world are gifts, but all that human genius can develop and discover and create are also gifts of God. Can gifts of God be abused? Absolutely. Do we abuse God's gifts all the time? So it's even a matter for confession. You know, our media use, the way we use media, we can confess that too. But for him, it's you just pick yourself up and you keep on moving. There's a scripture quote in Corinthians that says, everything is ours and we are Christ's and Christ is God's. So for him, you bring the whole world to Christ. You sanctify media. You help Christ redeem the media. Especially now where it's such a part of our, it's part of the fabric of our lives. So if we're not doing that, then we're spending whole chunks of our lives maybe away from God or not, you know, thinking about God. So we've got to be very intentional about bringing it to God. And he also had a deep, deep Eucharistic spirituality. He actually got the inspiration to found these 10 congregations back in, it was the night, we call it the Night of Light. It was New Year's Eve. He was doing 4 hours of Eucharistic adoration in the cathedral in Alba in northern Italy as a seminarian. And God told him, he gave him this inspiration to found these congregations and especially to work with media. So we always like to say we were founded by a teenager because we were. And I always tell the teens, you know, this is how seriously God takes young people.
Yeah.
This is how seriously the church takes young people. So he actually gave us an hour of adoration every day as part of our spirituality. And the church approved us. We don't have to say the liturgy of the hours, which is very strange. We do anyway, but we're not required to because the church said, oh, you have a Eucharistic adoration spirituality. That's your spirituality. And he also developed this way, truth, and life method of prayer, which we apply to everything. He said the most complete description Jesus ever gave of himself was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said a lot of other beautiful things. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. But this way, truth, and life was very comprehensive, and it coincides with the human person, mind, will, and heart. So Jesus is the truth for our mind, he's the way for our will, and he's the life for our heart. So instead of just maybe praying and doing like concentrating on intellectual things like spiritual reading, you do a little, you do one third of spiritual reading during that hour of adoration. Then you move on to Jesus the way. You examine your conscience, the way you're living your life. And then you move on to Jesus the life. You pray for the graces that you need to live your Christian life and pray for graces for the whole world. So it's way, truth, and life method. Of course, that's Trinitarian too. You have the three, you know, think of things in threes. And you start to see it everywhere. You can apply it to everything. So you're not just being all emotional and devotional in your prayer with the heart, or you're not just being activist. What do I have to do? You're doing everything, the mind, the will, and the heart.
Excellent.
That's very balanced.
That's a wonderful synthesis. I was struck as you were talking about the media earlier. When I think about my own experience of media and the impact that it has on me, you know, I might be sitting there in front of the TV some night, some, you know, bang up, shoot 'em up movie comes on. I get caught up in it. I watch it. I go to bed and I'm filled with these images. I think, why did I watch that? You know, now they're going to color my dreams during the night and yuck. As opposed to another time I'm sitting there, some wonderful movie comes on and it just sort of uplifts me and it inspires me, you know, and I walk away from it thinking that was time well spent. There are different ways that we can consume media, but it seems that Father Barioni's mission was not about so much about the way we consume it, but about producing it, you know, that we have a responsibility not just to be good consumers, but to be good producers.
Absolutely. And I think nowadays we're all creators of media, even by creating text messages every day and emails and YouTubes. We all do that.
So that's an excellent point.
Yeah, it's you know, desktop now. It's all digital. It's handheld. We're all media producers. But he also was very immersed in the culture. He was all about human culture. So he took that into consideration, too. And he'd say things like what you just said. He'd say, we live more by impression than anything else. He understood that people don't live their lives by doctrinal truths, or it would be nice if we did, but we don't. He said, we live our lives by impressions. We go from an impression, from image to image. And he even said things like pictures and posters and films have much more of an impact on us, especially now, than the printed word. And he said, that's fine. He says, you don't have to be tied to the printed word. He said, if you can use a film to reach people at all different levels and really move them. But he was so practical too. He'd say things like this. He gave us all kinds of advice. He never stopped talking. Like all day long, he'd give us meditations and lectures and whatever. He used to say things like, don't watch movies and stuff right before you go to bed.
Yeah.
He'd say, because, you know, you're not going to sleep well. You're going to have all these images in your mind. But of course, like, that's kind of the only time I get to catch up on media is right before I go to bed. But I pray. I really do. I pray before I use media. And I tell God, I don't want to waste my time. Show me what and I watch everything, you know, because I need to. I need to know what everyone else is seeing and what's out there and what's forming people's ideas and impressions. So I pray and I say, God, don't let me waste my time. Show me what I really need to see. As St. Paul said, the good things will really help people. I say, show me the things that I really need to see that will help me and help people. Even if it's some bad stuff, I pray that the bad effects will be mitigated, that it won't affect me as much. So, I think that we really need to pray about our media use And I find that it really happens. I tune into something that I really needed to hear, a piece of information or something that everybody's talking about, and there it goes.
Well, we need to go to another break, and then we're going to continue this conversation about this fascinating man, this pioneer in Catholic Christian communication. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
The Catholic New World brought you news on the cause for canonization of Father Augustus Tolton, and we'll continue to follow that story.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World. Or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Thank you for staying with us. This is Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, and you are listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's a great, great opportunity to be able to use the radio medium to preach the gospel, to tell you about the good news of the Archdiocese of Chicago and beyond. And this morning, we're speaking with Sister Helena Burns about an amazing man who, during the past century, was really a pioneer. And as a result of it, as a result of his pioneering work with the media, but also, even more so, as a result of the heroic goodness of his life, is on his way to canonization, Father James Alberione. Now, what would his first name be in Italian?
Giacomo.
Giacomo Alberione. Why don't we call him Giacomo?
People don't know what that means. We're trying to Americanize him a little bit so people, you know, will warm up to him and get to know him better.
Well, you're trying to help people get to know him through a documentary film. Tell us about
that. That's right. Well, we're working on a documentary. It'll be a 1 hour. Hopefully it'll be on EWTN and broadcast around. We're working with Spiritus Studios, Rob Kazmark and the guys on the south side there who do wonderful work.
I take a lot of credit for Mark. Rob, he went through my Called and Gifted program, the youngest person ever to do the program. He was only like 18 years old when he did it. Just an amazing, graced young man. I feel privileged to know him.
Yes, and you know, Father Alberione would have loved that. Young
he would have loved him.
Getting involved in the media. I mean, full-time business/ministry,
yes.
You know, that they're involved in. So we wanted to have an American feel because Father Alberione is... here we are in America, as we said, which is the capital of the media world, and we need to link all that up with spirituality, a profound spirituality, because media affects us so profoundly. We need to go very deep into prayer about our media and media use and media lives. Father Alberione wrote a prayer book, and a lot of it is some traditional prayers that he included, but he specifically wrote prayers for the media. And he told us, he said, you know, I put your spirituality, the Pauline spirituality, meaning of St. Paul the Apostle into this prayer book. So, for example, we have a Pauline offertory we say every day, which is offering the Mass for in reparation for evil media, and that good media will spread, and that people will use media responsibly. There is a beautiful prayer. What about like signs of the times? He has prayers for shepherds, that God will give us good shepherds, and for shepherds that stray. Mm. And I was thinking of, you know, the whole clergy scandal.
Amen.
There. And he was really a priest's priest. When he was 26, he was newly ordained. The bishop made him spiritual director of the seminary.
Wow.
He's newly, people thought he was crazy. The bishop was crazy. They said, what are you doing? This kid's like 26 years old. And he said, no, this man is very, very holy. And as I was telling you before, by age 19, he was fully formed. He had gotten kicked out of one seminary when he was young. He was in a minor seminary, high school seminary, and it was bad reading. We don't know what he was reading. We don't know if it was heretical material. There was a lot of heretical, modern.
Well, bad reading is in bad reading material. I thought you meant he couldn't read well.
Oh, no. He was reading bad books.
Bad books.
Or he was, the way he would read, I don't know, like a book a day. We don't know if they were novels, which was frowned upon, or it was heretical material. There was a lot of modernist literature going on. And so back in the day, I mean, you got kicked out of one seminary. That was it. But his parish priest believed in him. So he's had a lot of people to
God
guide.
God had another plan.
That's right. Yeah. And he got in.
Tell us the name of this book.
It's called Prayers of the Pauline Family.
Prayers of the Pauline Family. And I'm guessing maybe it might be available at the Pauline bookstore downtown?
It's not, but you can contact me directly, hburns@paulinemedia.com.
hburns@paulinemedia.com.
hburns@paulinemedia.com if you're interested in this prayer book.
All right.
He has beautiful prayers of consecrating the apostolate
to
Mary.
Left. So I want you to tell us about this documentary you're doing.
Yes.
And how the folks listening could help you
mediaapostle.com.
out.
mediaapostle.com. Go to mediaapostle.com. It's a website. You can watch the 3.5-minute trailer to get to know Father El Barrione better. Of course, we are raising funds for it. You can also have a credit at the end, too, for your contribution in memoriam of someone or in your own name or your organization.
So tell us again where they could find this trailer.
Mediaapostle.com, because nobody can spell Father El Barrione, let alone say it.
Mediaapostle.com. I saw it last night. It's amazingly well put together. It really gives you a tease about this man. The minute you see it, you want to know more about
him. Right.
It
asks a lot of questions like, what was his vision for media? What was his comprehensive vision? How did he see women involved in uniquely in evangelization? He founded 4 congregations of women and only 1 of men. Yeah. Because he had this great, he was an early Christian feminist. You know, they had this feminist movement going on in Italy back in the day, and good Christian feminism, you know.
So, in what way does your particular community live out the vision of Father Alberione?
Proclaiming the word. We're the mouth of the congregation. If we were a body, we're the mouth.
You're doing a great job today.
The Pauline family, what that means is the 10 congregations are all supposed to be St. Paul living today. But St. Paul didn't just preach. He founded churches. He did pastoral work. So each member of the whole Pauline family does a different work.
That's amazing. What would you say is the most remarkable feature of this great man? Why would someone want him to be their companion on the journey? You know, that's what saints are for most of us. When you have a devotion to a particular saint, it's because they can companion you in a particular way. In what way do you see him companioning people?
That's a great question. I would say, first of all, his profound humility, his profound trust in Jesus, and his profound spirituality. You know, people, when they start reading his writings, you can find them, most of them are out of print, but you can go online and look him up, and people start quoting him. He's very, very quotable, and people have him as their spiritual director, their spiritual father. You know how people have Padre Pio even in death, you know, after death, they
That's right.
consider him to be their spiritual father. Well, a lot of people consider El Barrione to be their spiritual father.
Well, Father James Giacomo Barrione, hopefully one day will be canonized. He's already been declared blessed, so we need to pray for another miracle.
You can email me for holy cards, too. hburns@paulinemedia.com.
Well, Sister Helena, we really want to thank you not only for being here today, but for the ministry that you do and for carrying on the vision and the mission of Father Alberione. God bless you, and hope lots of folks tune in to that mediaapostle.com to check out the trailer about Father Alberione. Thank you very much. Stay
Thank
with
you.
Us. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about the movies. Don't go away.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Poverty in America is the topic of discussion as Catholic Charities USA holds a thought-provoking conference here in Chicago. You know him as the voice of the national anthem. You may get to know him as Damien, the saint. A visit with Wayne Messmer is coming up.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back. Our second half hour. This is Graziano Marcheschi, Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio AM 950. Thank you for spending this hour of your morning with us. But during the last half hour, we talked about the importance of the media and the importance of using the media for proclaiming the truths of the gospel. Not everybody does that. But sometimes, you know, you don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to be a Christian even to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. The Holy Spirit is way bigger than any of us, way bigger than the church even. And sometimes the Spirit grabs hold of people and is able to communicate godly messages through the most unlikely sources. We're going to be talking right now on the phone with Sister Rose Pacate, director of the Pauline Center for Media Studies at Culver City, California. So it's an all Pauline day. And we're going to talk to her about summer movies. Good morning, Sister Rose.
Good morning. How are you, Gratz?
I'm very well.
Good, good.
I'm very excited to be talking to you.
Oh, very nice to be talking to you.
We've still got Sister Helena here in the studio. We got gabbing during the break, and she didn't get a chance to get out, so now she can't open the door because...
Ha, ha, ha. Tell her I said hi. Hi, Helena. Hi, Sister
She
Helena.
Says hello to you. There you go. All right. Well, you know, you're an amazing community. I'm very impressed with all of you Pauline sisters.
Oh, thank you.
And I love the work that you do.
Oh, thanks again.
I wish I had your job, you know, getting to go to the movies all the time.
You know what? It's, you know, I always say I get paid to go to the movies.
Yeah.
And, of course, the money goes to my community, but it's not a bad gig if you can get it.
It's not a bad gig.
The thing, what we do with... the money for my writing, it actually supports our Pauline Center for Media Studies, where we do programs in media literacy education, which helps people develop skills to navigate the culture from an incarnational perspective of, like you were just saying, about finding seeds of the gospel, finding God when we can, but to have a discerning eye, to ask questions, to have conversations so we can unpack what we experience in media. so that's what going to the movies, the good effect, that rollout effect of being able to do that.
All right, I have to ask a personal question.
Sure.
Do you wear your habit when you go to the movies?
No, that's not such a bad question to ask. No, I normally dress down.
All right.
Go in mufti.
Incognito.
Well, I like to blend a little bit.
I understand.
Helena's probably cracking up, but because she knows how well I blend. But anyway, the thing is I don't want going to the movies to be about me. It's about going to the film and experiencing the film. And if you go in with a habit on, you know, you inevitably distract people. And so I just like just to
and
go
some
in
of these movies, they might be thinking, why is that sister here?
Well, there's that, too, because they, nuns and babies can't go to R-rated movies, you know?
There you go.
Right? There's a rule.
That's right.
And so, at any rate, it's just easier just to blend. And then I can ask people as I walk out, you know, what did you think of that film? Yeah, I get some really interesting answers sometimes and have some fantastic conversations. So I don't think with a hat, and I always tell them, if we start chatting, I always say, I am a Catholic sister, but when I come to the movies, I just dress down. And they go, oh, I can understand that, you know, and they're cute. They're cute.
Well, I want to tell our viewers to get ready to call in if they have any movies that they want to ask you about.
Okay,
our number is
sure.
312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. What have you seen this summer?
Well, I just saw, this is not a religious, it is a religious film, but I thought it was so excellent, is a documentary on Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Really?
I saw it at the Catholic Media Convention in New Orleans. I just got back on Saturday.
What is it called?
It's, I believe it's called Fulton Sheen.
Hold on. Now, I understand there is his cause for canonization is also underway.
Yeah, it's called Faithful Witness. Yes, it is. And in fact, the film was created as a kind of fundraiser, but it's really, really a tiny mention at the very end. It is such a good story, and I just felt like, you know, he was not just a one-dimensional character. He was so well-educated, such a great teacher, and a holy, holy man. You know,
what did you learn about him that you didn't already know?
Yeah, I knew he made the holy hour every day before the Blessed Sacrament.
Wow.
But when you see this film, you realize what a challenge that must have been to keep that commitment. And, you know, sometimes you hear things, little whisperings about, you know, he wasn't able to run the Diocese of Rochester and all this and all that. And I'm thinking, yeah, but this guy, he may not have had every skill in the world, but he was holy, and he was also misunderstood by people who were his friends. At one point, he's speaking, and he said, I've suffered in my life. I've suffered physically, and I've suffered in other ways that never should have happened. But they did, and they made me who I am.
Hmm.
Oh, you know, everybody's looking at it. That was a BK moment, you know, that rating where you have to bring your own Kleenex.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, and they have some lovely people giving commentary, and a nun who knew him for years and years and years. And
now, is this movie going to be released?
You can order it online now, and they're going to send me a copy, and I'm just trying to find the website. Isn't that terrible?
So it's called Faithful Witness.
Faithful Witness.
About Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Yeah, and the lady told me it was 1995, and you can order it online. So as we're chatting, I'm just, as your people, I should just let your people do it because they're faster.
All right, we'll let them
figure
that out.
Probably looking it up.
Tell us about Robin Hood.
Oh, Robin Hood. I really liked Robin Hood. I thought it was a really sturdy performance. It wasn't a cliche, you know, like so many Robin Hood movies are.
He doesn't change accent three or four or five different times like Kevin Costner did.
No, and he doesn't have an American accent, so which is lovely, you know. And no, it's a really sturdy accent. It's a really sturdy performance, and the Ridley Scott kind of folds in, I think, all of the different threads of legends that are out there of who he was. But
is he still robbing from the rich and giving to the poor?
No, In fact, the way the film is set up, it happened 16 years before King John was practically forced to sign the Magna Carta. That is what this film is really about. It's about this sword that says, I'm going to have to just find it here. It's this amazing, rise and rise again until lambs become lions. But that sword points to the first demand the nobles make of King John to grant them rights in law.
So you recommend this movie?
I do. There's some action violence, but no blood.
No blood.
How do you make an action movie without any blood? You do that so you can get a PG rating.
There you go.
Or PG-13.
I guess arrows don't draw as much blood as bullets do. Thank goodness.
No sex. There's no sex. So all you folks who worry
listen,
about
we need
that,
to go to a break. Hang with us, and we're going to continue our conversation with Sister Rose and learn about some more exciting summer movies. Don't go away.
Okay.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marteschi. Grateful that you're spending this time with us. We're speaking with Sister Rose Paquette. Am I saying your name right?
It's fine. We say Paquette. Other parts of the family say Paquette. So
Paquette? How about Paquette?
Actually, it's a French name.
Oh, and Paquette.
Paquette is the correct pronunciation.
Très bien. Alors. Yeah.
But everybody, you know, this is America. It changes when you come in.
Yeah. All right, you know what? I just want you to know that Sister Helena is still here.
Is she? Well, another time, you should have us on together. But
we should have you on together. She's also a movie reviewer.
I know this. And see, the thing is I don't know if your audience could take it, but you should have us on together.
All right, well, we'll just tell her to put her headphones on and make her get on right now. We have a caller, Jim from Rogers Park, who has a question for you about the Twilight movie series. Good morning, Jim.
Oh. Hi there, Sister Rose.
Hi.
Hi. I teach middle school level religious ed, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the Twilight series in the string of movies that are sort of vampire oriented, which are out, and what teaching opportunities you might see in there for a religious ed teacher, a catechist trying to explain the Christian theory of Christ giving his blood rather than taking yours as a route to eternal life and so forth. So it seems like there's kind of an onslaught of these movies, and I was wondering what your thoughts are about using them for positive catechetical purposes,
thank you for your question. I think that when I use movies within teaching, I don't look at them as a way of giving a positive catechetical message, first of all. if you're looking at them, you want to explore them and what they're saying. I think it would be really interesting to go back to the Vatican's 100 important film list that came out in 1995 on the 100th anniversary of cinema. And one of those films under art, I believe, is Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. And Nosferatu was one of the original silent vampire movies of, you know, it was a German film. Mm-hmm. There's a whole legend that goes into the vampire story and the original vampire story. And it is, there is a religion, a very Catholic basis to it, but a rejection because of great disappointment and great an anger. And so what happens, it is a reverse story of the incarnation and the redemption.
Yeah.
And I think that that is what, if anything, I would find it fascinating to explore, to watch that original Nosferatu film and then look at the Twilight story. And as you can see, what's his name? The vampire guy. Robert Patterson, I know the actor's name.
Okay.
He's struggling with, you know, the idea, you know, they're good vampires. In other words,
yeah.
They're trying to work against their nature, so to speak. So I think that's a huge landscape to explore.
Well, the kids are already there. I just sort of wanted to get some of your thoughts, which have been very helpful, about how we can maybe work with where they're coming from now.
Work with who's coming? The kids,
yeah, who are pretty steeped in this viewpoint.
And Jim, I really like your notion of Christ giving his blood instead of taking yours. That's a great take on that whole idea. Thank you so much for your call, Jim.
Thanks. Bye.
Those movies are very fascinating. When I was teaching high school, I directed a play called Count Dracula. And there are a lot of religious overtones to that whole genre of
it comes out of a religious tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. So you liked Robin Hood.
I did.
There's a couple of other big movies this summer, Iron Man 2, Sex in the City 2.
I saw Sex in the City 2.
And the reviewers are not liking it as much as
one. It's not well written. It's not as a film, it doesn't hold together very well. I was disappointed because I thought the first one had merit. I thought it had heart. This one is just an excuse to have a film. And parts of it are really scummy. And I thought it showed how desperate humorists are to be funny. And I don't know. I was really disappointed. It had a few funny laughs, but anyway, to me it was a disappointment.
Do you have a rating system? Do you do a thumbs up, thumbs down?
No, I do not. I look at myself as a person who kind of mediates the film. Because what I might not care for, somebody else might find something that actually helps them. And if you have time, if we have time for a little story, I'll tell you one. We were having an argument, this nice group of people and I, about what films we're going to use for our national film retreat from one year to the next. And by the way, that's going to be in Graymore, New York in July. And if you go to Graymore, is it Graymore? No, my head is, it's early, kind of early here. Anyway, it's going to be in New York. You can look at my blog and you'll find it. But we wanted to see Joe versus a Volcano. That's a John Patrick Shanley film.
Yeah.
It's about a man who is a hypochondriac, and he's driving his doctor crazy, and the doctor finally says to him, look, the diagnosis has come through. You have a brain cloud. And he goes, well, what do I do? Is it fatal? He goes, yes, it is. You go out and you enjoy life to the full. Well, I was telling this story at a conference, and this lady raised her hand, and I said, yes, I called on her. She said, that is the favorite film of my husband and I. She's young. She had a young baby. And I said, why? And she said, well, when he was 9 years old, he tried to take his own life.
Oh.
And when his mom took him to, he got help and everything, but then his mom took him to see that movie because they liked Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. And when they were coming out, he looked at his mother and said, "Mom, that was me. I had a brain cloud, and I don't need to die."
Oh.
And the reason I bring that up is because during that argument between really good Catholic adults, one man just hated that movie, but this woman loved it.
Hmm.
You see how you can see the flaws in the film, but yet look what that did for that one child.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit pervades things.
So that's why I don't use ratings, and I don't do that. I feel if people read the film, read the review, they'll be able to get enough out of it to make.
Well, I think you should consider that though. You know, like a one angel movie, a two angel movie.
It kind of lets people off the hook about thinking about movies, and that's what I try to do is
all
get
right.
people to think.
We need to take a short break.
Okay.
We'll continue our conversation with Sister Rose. Don't go away. We're going to the movies.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th. Perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355 or www.respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Catholic Community and Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Happy to be here with you. And we're talking this morning to Sister Rose Paquette, and she's telling us about the movies. We've got a question for you from our engineer, Mike.
Okay.
He wants to know what movie to take his 10-year-old daughter to this summer.
Well, Shrek 4 is fine.
Shrek 4.
Mm-hmm. It's the final film of the Shrek line.
Okay. Have you seen Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
Yeah, that's cute. Is that still in theaters up there? It's gone from here.
It might still be around here. Tell us about that movie.
It's a fun movie. You know, it's taken from the kid's perspective, and it it shows how tough it is to be a little kid. But he gets his courage at the end. So, it's a everyday challenge. You know, facing bullies bullies is one of the biggest problems we have out there today. So.
It sure seems to be. Yeah,
yeah it does.
A growing
it
problem.
Yeah, it is.
And apparently that's based on a series of books.
It is. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I really, really liked How to Train Your Dragon. To me, if that's still out there, I would take how old is his daughter?
10.
10? That is a perfect movie for a 10-year-old. It is a course in peacemaking. The animation, the special effects are lovely. Now, it's funny, the parents and adults all have Scottish accents, and all the kids have American accents.
Oh, really?
So I'm not sure what went on there, but, you know, and they're not Scottish Vikings. They're from the north, you know, from the Scandinavian countries. But anyway, if you can put aside, you can suspend your disbelief for a minute. It's a very nice film, very, really nice.
All right. What about Date Night? Have you seen that?
I did, and I liked it an awful lot. I wasn't going to go see it, and then I went to a national...
Movie's getting a little different reaction from Sister Helena here.
You know what I liked about it? I liked when the two parents, the two adults, the husband and wife, Tina Fey and Steve Carell, you know, they look at each other, and they assess their marriage in such a heartfelt way. And, you know, it's a spoof, it's a comedy, I would not have gone. I decided not to go because the reviews were so poor. And I went to this catechetical conference, this national conference, and these catechists kept coming up to me and saying, Sister Rose, did you see Date Night? I go, no, I'm going. They said, you should really see it. It's not only funny, it is so true. And you know, they make this decision to go on together. Hmm. And, you know, look how many... And because the reason they did that is because friends of theirs were walking away from their marriage. So it's about choosing marriage and how, even like as a religious or a priest, you choose every day. And so that's why I liked it. Now, Sister Helena wants to weigh in. She can do it. But carefully, Sister Helena.
She's just got a big smile on her face here.
Oh, well, one good scene. That was the one good scene, tell her.
She said that was the one good scene that she liked, the one
now,
you
but
described.
But what about who takes somebody else's reservation? That little gag, because that's how they get into trouble, is that they say they're this other couple waiting in line at a restaurant, and they take it, and these thugs think that they're this couple. So they get caught up in this. And then even the bad guys go, who takes somebody else's reservation? It was really kind of cute.
All right, she's got a big smile on her face now, too. You might be winning her over. Hey, let me ask you, have you ever changed your mind on a movie? You know, initially you really liked it and then you hated it, or you really hated it and later you loved it. I remember back when Bonnie and Clyde first came out. It was almost universally panned. I remember reading The View and Time magazine, awful movie. And then like 2 weeks later, it was their cover story. And the reviewer did a big mea culpa saying, I was wrong. This is a really great movie. Have you ever done that?
Rarely.
Rarely.
You know, I guess because, you know, I keep seeing films, and so the only way that might happen is if somebody... Oh, yes, okay. What was the last James Bond movie?
Quantum of Solace.
You know, I said, you know, there were parts of it that were exquisite, but as a whole, I didn't really care for it. And then this wonderful Lutheran gentleman, he's been in movies for years, and he, you know, working with films, and he said to me, I can't believe that nobody, not even you, Sister Rose, saw that the basic theme of that movie was about water rights for the poor in developing countries. And I went, oh my gosh, Bolivia, because the whole thing that happens in Bolivia at the end does bring to a conclusion this whole conversation, this bad guy in the
unfortunately,
movie.
Unfortunately, we have to bring our conversation to a close, too.
Anyway, so there's your answer to your question. Yes.
Well, you know, I'm just thrilled. This whole morning has been a great experience listening to the media sisters, you know, the sisters of St. Daughters of St. Paul, very involved in media and recognize the importance of media. So we thank Sister Paquette. We thank Sister Helena. We thank our producer, Jim Dish, our engineer, Michael May, and most of all, we thank you for taking your time to listen to Catholic
Radio. God bless you.
God bless you, and have a wonderful week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.